I rubbed at my eyes. Great. More black magic in Chicago. If it wasn't some raving, psychotic, black-hatted bad guy, it was probably another kid like the one who died a few minutes ago. There wasn't a whole lot of in-between. I was hoping for the murderous madman. Sorry, political correctioneers. Mad person. I could deal with those. I'd had practice. I didn't think I could handle the other. I put the letter back in the envelope, thinking. This was between the gatekeeper and me, presumably. He hadn't asked me publicly, or told Ebenezer what was going on, which meant that I was free to decide how to handle this one. If the Merlin knew about this, and officially gave me the assignment, he'd make damn sure I didn't have much of a choice in how to handle it, and I'd have to do the whole thing under a microscope. The gatekeeper had trusted me to handle whatever was wrong. That was almost worse. Man, sometimes I get tired of being the guy who's supposed to deal with undealable situations. I looked up to find Ebenezer squinting at me. The expression made his face a mass of wrinkles. What? I asked. You get a haircut or something, Hoss? Nothing new. Why? You look... The old wizard's voice trailed off thoughtfully. Different. My heartbeat sped up a little. As far as I knew, Ebenezer was unaware of the entity who was leasing out the unused portions of my brain, and I wanted to keep it that way. But though he had a reputation for being something of a magical brawler, his specialty, the summoning up of primal destructive forces, he had a lot more on the ball than most of the council gave him credit for. It was entirely possible that he had sensed something of the fallen angel's presence within me. Yeah, well, I've been wearing the cloak of the people I spent most of my adult life resenting, I said. Between that and being a cripple, I've been off my sleep for almost a year. That can do it, Ebenezer said, nodding. How's the hand? I bit back my first harsh response, that it was still maimed and scarred, and that the burns made it look like a badly melted piece of wax sculpture. I'd gone up against a bad guy with a brain a couple of years back, and she'd worked out that my defensive magic was designed to stop kinetic energy, not heat. I found that out the hard way when a couple of her psychotic goons sprayed improvised napalm at me. My shield had stopped the flaming jelly, but the heat had gone right through and dry-roasted the hand I'd held out to focus my shield. I held up my gloved left hand and waggled my thumb and the first two fingers in jerky little motions. The other two fingers didn't move much unless their neighbors pulled them. Not much feeling in them yet, but I can hold a beer. Or the steering wheel. Doctor had me playing guitar, trying to move them and use them more. Good, Ebenezer said. Exercise is good for the body, but music is good for the soul. Not the way I play it, I said. Ebenezer grinned wryly and drew a pocket watch from the front pocket of the overalls. He squinted at it. Lunchtime, he said. You hungry? There wasn't anything in his tone to indicate it, but I could read the subtext. Ebenezer had been a mentor to me at a time I'd badly needed it. He taught me just about everything I thought was important enough to be worth knowing. He had been unfailingly generous, patient, loyal, and kind to me. But he had been lying to me the whole time, ignoring the principles he had been teaching me. On the one hand, he taught me about what it meant to be a wizard, about how a wizard's magic comes from his deepest beliefs, about how doing evil with magic was more than simply a crime. It was a mockery of what magic meant, a kind of sacrilege. On the other hand, he'd been the White Council's black staff the whole while. A wizard with a license to kill, to violate the laws of magic, to make a mockery of everything noble and good about the power he wielded in the name of political necessity. And he'd done it many times.